the last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, there's no doubt that the happy pair must be amongst the most successful people to have come out of Ireland in the food business in recent years. Whatever about the number of books that they've sold, 550,000 Instagram followers, 465,000 YouTube subscribers, 42,000 Twitter followers, and about 50,000 people around the world have completed a Happy Pair online course. And they have another new book out, and it goes by the name The Happy Health Plan. So I'm delighted that we're joined by Stephen and David Flynn, the men behind the Happy Pair cookbooks. How are you, lads?
Actually, delighted to be here.
Great.
Thanks a million, Matt.
Thanks for the intro.
Have you managed to maintain that happiness over the last year?
Yeah, it's definitely been like, I think for most people, it's been a recalibration and a focus on what's important. And it's been great. Yeah, we've both, you know, it's made life simpler. Like there's a lot less travel. There's different stresses instead of the stresses of travel and that type of thing. So it's got simpler. And yeah, I think we've definitely we're just as happy as an arbitrary thing, because I think ultimately happiness comes and goes. And it's more if you've got your health and if you've got good family and things that you love to do. Like, obviously, we feel bad sometimes and we feel struggle with stress and overwhelm and everything else. But I think ultimately it's, you know, we're in good places, fortunately.
Has it been easy, though, with the business? Surely there must be aspects of the business which have found it difficult, particularly the cafes.
Absolutely. It's been hugely challenging in so many different ways. Unfortunately, we had to close down our cafe in Clondalk, and which that was going great. But I guess the impact of the pandemic has had a huge impact. And then it's just been challenging. I think for anyone running a business during this period can relate to just the challenges of having to continuously adapt and what's the latest regulations and how can we do it and maintain safety for our staff and that. But I guess putting all that aside, it's been a wonderful opportunity to prune, to concentrate on what's important with the business and kind of really get back to the basics.
The happy prune, so back, to speak.
And then even, Matt, back in at the start of lockdown in March, that was when we decided, okay, well, we've been running online courses or online plans the last 10 years. Like, why don't we actually sit and write them down into a book? And that's what this book is about, The Happy Health Plan. It's the distillation of 10 years of experience of having 50,000 people through our courses from all over the world. So this whole book is it's got the backing of doctors and dietitians and then all the practical how-to of what's actually worked and what's helped people lose weight and gain energy.
That's interesting you say that you have the backing of doctors and dietitians. I think that's probably quite important, isn't it, given that it's a big jump for anybody involved in food books to suddenly start saying, well, this is a health plan, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess it was only back a few years ago when we started being asked to do talks to doctors, and we felt like complete imposter syndrome, because I remember the first time we went into the Royal College of Surgeons to give a talk, and we absolutely felt like, who are we to talk to doctors? And then you realized little by little that there were people that were interested in health just as much as everyone else, and that were stressed and food. They mightn't have always had as much time to focus on the food aspect, which has been our skill set. And this book has really been about, over the years, we've partnered with doctors, gastroenterologists, cardiologists, a doctor that specializes in weight management as well, and then dietitians. And we've put it all together and all the various learnings and devised it into four different plans, one for heart, one for gut, one for skin, and one for shape. And they're all backed by doctors and dietitians. And then obviously our skill set is the practical, the how-to, which we've got all the delicious recipes and meal plans and shopping lists. And really, we're trying to make it simple for people with the practical. But if you do need the science, it's really heavily backed in medicine and science.
Can you get all four together? Can you have the happy heart, gut, skin and shape?
Absolutely.
Great question.
I think the body isn't compartmentalized. The body doesn't care if you're a pulmonologist, you're a gastroenterologist, you're a cardiologist. The body's kind of one intricate system that's intrinsically linked. So I think, you know, for anyone listening, if you do want to make any more steps towards health, I think trying to eat more whole foods is something that people can't argue. And I think if you suddenly start eating better, then possibly you might have a desire to move more. As you start to move more, your mental health might improve, and suddenly it becomes a virtuous cycle.
When you say whole foods, what do you mean by that?
A food that you'd find in nature, such as an unprocessed food, such as a fruit, vegetables, beans, nuts and seeds, legumes and whole grains. So it's at the moment, roughly in Ireland, 9 out of 10 people don't get their RDA, or recommended daily intake, of fibre. And fibre you'll only find in whole foods. And it's something that's kind of almost a direct indicator that we as a nation need to start eating more fruit and vegetables, and that it's not an all or nothing thing. It's not like, you know, one has to be a vegetarian or a vegan. I think it's quite the contrary. I think it's just about trying to focus on eating more fruit and vegetables. And that's
but you are vegetarians, really, aren't you?
Yeah, we've been eating a vegan diet for 20 years, but it's really been about the whole foods. And that's why our message has always been about eat more fruit and veg rather than thou must be a vegan or vegetarian. It really is about making simple steps of choosing the brown pasta instead of white pasta, choosing the brown rice instead of the white rice, trying to, like, you know, maybe a couple of nights a week, if you do eat meat, if you do eat like chicken curries, maybe try to make a chickpea curry and start making simple steps, because there is no perfection. It's all progress. And ultimately, we all want to be happier. We all want to have more energy in our bodies. And it's the simple things that we do every day have a dramatic effect on our long term health.
Do either of you use supplements to make up for nutrients that you might be missing in a vegan diet?
It's a B12 is about, I know there's a good section in the book with Dr. Allen talks about supplementation, but 4 out of 10 omnivores are deficient in B12. So it's something as a nation, we all kind of really, unless we're getting our bloods tested regularly. So B12 is about all that I supplement. But again, we get a blood test every 6 months to a year just to check that it's all pretty good.
And if things weren't to be as you had them, I mean, would you consider supplements or changes of diet?
I guess we just regroup and see where we're at in the moment, you know. But so far, 20 years of having eaten a, you know, a whole food vegan diet. And like, and once again, it's not to get caught up in those words, because they're very binary and they're very, they put people off. Like, what we're really trying to do is to get people to eat more whole foods. And that's what this whole book, The Happy Health Plan, it's all about, trying to make it simple and practical and put like a plan, because most people know what to do. Like, if I ask my daughter, Else, what do I need to do to be healthy? Like, she's 10, and she'd say, well, you probably need to eat more fruit and veg. You need to sleep better. You need to walk, get your 10,000 steps. And then you try to be not stressed. So most of us know the things that we need to do. It's just the actual application and following a plan. And that's what this book really tries to do. It's like, it's really tries to hold your hand and kind of go, this is the process. And this is what you're, you know, how you're going to deal with cravings. This is how you're going to get motivated. And, you know, it tries to break it down so that it's easy to follow.
Yeah, and easy to follow can be difficult for some people to actually have the motivation and will to do that. How do you encourage that?
I think community, we become the product of our environment. And when you look to the blue zones, where they're the 6 areas in the planet where there's the most amount of centenarians, that's people that have lived over the age of 100. And part of the reason why they don't live such long, healthy lives because they've special genes or anything, or they're eating any strange foods. It's because the healthy choice is the easy choice. So I think the more, for anyone listening who wants to adopt positive lifestyle changes, the more you can create an environment where the healthy choice is the easy choice, the easier it is to sustain it. So if you do want to start eating better, try to surround yourself with people or family that will eat better along with you. So the more we can get support and become the product of our environment, the easier it is to stick with things.
Do either of you drink alcohol?
No, when we were kind of 18, 19 and 20, we drank lots, and then kind of gave up for a couple of weeks before running a marathon when we were just coming up to 21. And I guess those couple of weeks have ended up being a couple of decades, really. And it was really not because we ever wanted to be non-drinkers. It was just we gave up and ended up realizing we'd lots of money, and we'd more money, and we, you know, didn't find the need for it, which in a culture where growing up, drink was our main means of socializing with girls, because we went to all boys schools. So it was when we realized you could talk to, you know, girls when you were sober, that was when we realized it was probably sustainable, you know.
Do you ever eat any processed food?
Absolutely. Oh, I just had a lovely square of chocolate. It was great. You know, I think health is often, it can be seen like people might see us that we're just eating green leaves and, you know, doing handstands and yoga all day long. But we're like anyone who, you know, you have your good days and bad days. And I think it's what we do most of the time that really counts. And I think, you know, having everyone knows a granny or a granddad that lived to the age of 90, that smoked a pack of cigarettes a day, drank a bottle of vodka, was mad into the gambling, didn't really eat vegetables, but they laughed a lot. They weren't stressed. It was a great sense of purpose and possibly a strong faith in there. So I think health is multifaceted. And I think, you know, food is something to be enjoyed and to be celebrated. And if you love a bit of chocolate, or if you need whatever it is, have a little bit of, there's no point in you sitting eating a kale salad going, I hate kale, because that's not really healthy. And guilt and flagellation isn't terribly healthy.
That is a very fair point. So you do things like vegan chocolate brownies, for example. I see, Stephen, you trialed over 200 versions of one for this book.
Yeah, I got very down into the detail of it. I guess as a chef, I'm often intrigued with the journey of trying to reach a perfect recipe. And I guess that one has taken many, many, many years. And, you know, I think it's pretty perfect for what we have right now. But yeah, I guess it's, I've been working on bean to bar chocolate for a long while, and sourdough bread has been something that we've just opened a sourdough bakery, and that's been another love, that kind of craft, that romance, trying to use Irish flour, trying to use 48 hour ferment, you know, in pursuit of this perfect product, you know, that's the thing.
I thought half the country was trying to do sourdough bread at home. Just to finish up, Stephen and David, there may be a lot of people enduring lockdown who may not be eating particularly well. There might be other people who are using it as an opportunity to try and improve their diet and lifestyle. What would you recommend, and how would you go about doing it?
I'd say baby steps. You know, start small, start with a target that's easily achievable. And when you do go to, you know, food unfortunately has moved from something that we eat to sustain ourselves and as survival, to something to escape when we feel sad and we feel lonely, when we feel a little trapped. It's often we'll turn to chocolate or coffee or something for a dopamine release to kind of move on the symptoms. So I think it's to start to become aware of why we're eating. One is something to be very aware of. And two, I'd suggest is to start with baby steps, and possibly food mightn't be. Maybe it's to try to incorporate a little bit of fruit and veg. Maybe eat an extra piece of fruit a day. Baby steps. Maybe it's to try to hit 10,000 steps a day. But just pick one simple goal that's very achievable, very attainable, and make baby steps. And I think a really important thing for anyone listening is progress rather than perfection. Baby steps. Because health is a journey.
Health is a journey. And then it's so easy to fall off the bandwagon and beat yourself up if you don't succeed with it. So I think, as Stephen said, baby steps is a great one. And I think one thing, which is that we all have food habits that typically, you know, it might be Monday night is shepherd's pie, Wednesday night is spaghetti bolognese, Friday night is a chicken curry. And we tend to rotate the same kind of dishes. And unless we proactively kind of go, okay, actually get organized, plan what you're going to cook, what you're going to snack on, clear out the presses of the stuff you don't want and get it out of the house, give it to your neighbors, give it to your friends, but get it out of the house. Unless you change your food environment, like if you do want to eat healthier, you have to be organized and planned and really be structured around it. And I think then you're much more likely to succeed, because it's in those moments when you feel emotionally, you feel sad, you feel lonely, you feel stressed, that's when you'll turn to your chips, or that's when you'll kind of, you know, you'll throw up your plan. So it's kind of thinking through these things, and organization and planning is so important. And that's why I think like this book really tries to hold your hand through it. It really, really does.
Well, it's good to hear that you're still the happy pair, Stephen and David Flynn, authors of The Happy Health Plan. As ever, thanks very much for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
Thanks a million, Matt. Really appreciate it.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.